Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Ditka, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Bill, did Chell get the internet back down there for you?
I think I'm back online. I had to climb on top of a mountain.
All right, well, whatever it takes. Now let's both of us climb on top of the mountain, hold those cans up with the long line, and head back to Las Vegas as we continue talking about Fight Night 224 Saturday night. Let's welcome to the program Tyson Nam. Tyson, how are you?
I'm doing good. How's your guys' day going?
Not bad for us, but you're the one with the busy week, Fight Week. Talk to us about that. What's Fight Week like?
You know, Fight Week is not actually a busy week, but it's very strategic in the sense of, you know, timing process of when to eat, when to train. So, I mean, that's the busy side of it. But otherwise, you know, we just laying around all day, just being bored. You know, it's so hot outside that we can't even walk around. So we got to just literally just be imprisoned inside of this hotel room and watch people have fun outside.
I was just there for International Fight Week. We broadcast it all week, and you're right. We're based in Florida, and our hot and that heat is two entirely different things.
A little bit different.
Hey, Tyson, so I'm down here in Brazil, and we were just talking last segment about the fight culture. Obviously, we know the great champions that come from Brazil, and it's alive and well here in the fabric of the community. What's it like in Hawaii? I mean, we know with BJ Penn, Kendall Grove, Max Holloway. I mean, the fight community in Hawaii has got to be incredible, right?
Hawaii's off the chains for fighting. You know, we have such great athletes, combative athletes, but I think the one thing that it comes down to in Hawaii is just discipline. That's all. You know, there's always something better to do. We got the beach. We got some picnics. We got some pork and gravy all over our rice to eat. So it just comes down to discipline with these local boys. Otherwise, you know, we got some of the best fighters in the world.
You know, and Tyson, it's very similar to us, you know, here in the Tampa Bay area in Florida. You know, the beach is allegedly, somebody, I don't know who it was, the Travel Channel said it's the number one beach in the world. And people said about the sports teams here that they don't pre-sell tickets, and it's for that exact reason. You know, we want to see, is it beach weather today? Is it, you know, can I go out today? Because it rains here a ton as well. I think that's one of the problems here in this state is the discipline that I know that it is in Brazil and that I know that it is in Hawaii.
Because, I mean, you know, like when, let's say, fighters in Hawaii are disciplined, outcomes like a Max Holloway, you know, go to the featherweight, things like that happen. So when you got everything going for you as well as just even a little bit of discipline, we pop out some great athletes, great fighters. And just as well as in your area as well, too.
I'll tell you a quick funny story about another Hawaiian, Shane Victorino. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Are you?
Baseball player.
Right. Baseball player, Shane Victorino, very good friend of mine. And so a lot of times in baseball, you know, they purposely hit players and, you know, it's their way of retaliating after a home run, which makes zero sense. I get that. And most players get upset. Shane got hit once and he yelled at the pitcher, "Don't hit me in the head. Hit me here." And he's like pointing, you know, to his side, because obviously you don't want to hit somebody in the head. But where most, you know, players are like, "Don't hit me at all," Shane isn't saying "Don't hit me." He's just telling you where to hit him. I just found that always funny.
You know, we grow on tough out in Hawaii. If we get hit with a ball, we get hit with a bat. I mean, it's all the same. I mean, you know, in the body is better than the head. The head is a little bit more life threatening. But yeah, hit us in the shoulder, hit us in the leg, hit us in the butt or something, just not in the head. That's to fight. That's to fight in a parking lot after.
Oh, that's awesome. Give me your thoughts on your opponent Saturday night.
Azat Maksim. He's from Kazakhstan. He's young. He's probably a future champ, hopeful future champ. That's all I know.
And honestly, and I ask fighters this, do you even need to know more? Isn't it just as much, if not more, what you're going to do than what he has done or what he can do?
Well, in this day and age, you like to know as much as possible. That we have the technology of YouTube, some videos, just to be a little bit more prepared than, say, like 10 years ago. So, you know, we're fighting on the biggest stage in the UFC for the entire world to see. So we just want to make sure that we come in as best prepared as possible.
The reason that I say it that way is I remember vividly when Randy Couture fought Tim Sylvia for the heavyweight title. And Randy said that he had this whole game plan and he was going to throw, and I don't remember what the two things were, you know, a right cross and a leg kick. And he throws the right cross and he goes to throw the leg kick and Tim's gone because he'd already knocked him down. So, you know, you can plan all those things and watch all this video and stuff. And I'm just saying it doesn't always play out that way.
Sure. But I mean, you know, it's always better to be prepared to have and not need to need and not have. So that's what happens when you throw. I mean, like even like, you know, my old boxing coach always said, you know, you hit them with a good 1-2. You might not have to even follow up with the 3. So you might as well throw it good first. So same along those same lines.
Sure. You've been fighting professionally for, I believe it's just over 17 years. How has the sport changed over those 17 years for you?
Dang, has it been that long? Sorry, I just started like a couple of years ago. But, you know, when I first started, it wasn't even a cool thing to do. We just literally did it on a weekend. You know, there wasn't anything better to do than just to get into a fist fight, which we probably would have gotten into a fist fight at a bar or something on top of a Saturday. So it went from that to what you have now, actual, you know, professional athletes. There's a lot of science that goes into how we train, how we eat. And, you know, it's like night and day difference.
Is it something like, and again, you're an athlete, I'm a fat, out of shape. I always say my next weight cut will be my cremation. Is there something that you wished you could do? And whether it's a cheat thing or not, whether, you know, a hot fudge sundae or, you know, I don't know what that cheat thing would be for you. But you can't because you have to stay disciplined. And we just talked about the discipline. Is there something like that in your life and in your food?
Oh, I want to eat everything in sight. You know, I want to say my favorite thing to go to is pasta, pizza. But I can't eat any carbs. I gotta lose this weight because, I mean, you know, I'm probably literally sitting around 6-7% body fat. So any little bit will, it'll stick onto my body. So, I mean, you know, everything and anything, carbs, pasta, pizza, ice cream, I'll eat it all if I could have the chance, but discipline, just because I really take this serious, is because I know that I'm going to be on national television. I don't want to make a fool out of myself.
You know, and as you say that, Tyson, I don't know if you're watching this season of The Ultimate Fighter, and it's, you know, former UFC fighters against potentials, and every single one of them said that their fight was to get to the UFC, and once they did, they felt they made it. And, you know, they didn't train all the time. They maybe snuck in, you know, an ice cream or a pizza. You know, are you watching that and can you kind of relate to that? And that's another reason why you're doing it the way you're doing it.
You know, I haven't paid attention to the season, honestly, but I know exactly what they're talking about in the sense. But, you know, when I got into the UFC, I was already 36. I already had a very long career. So to me, when I got in, I was already on borrowed time. So I'm literally treating every fight like it could be my last. Tomorrow I might get fired. So I'm trying to do everything I can while I can until it's over.
What's the craziest, funniest, strangest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fight involving you?
In the middle of a fight.
I've heard some great stories.
I believe my opponent was trying to bite my chin.
Okay.
It was the late Albert Manners, one of BJ Penn's boys, back out in Hawaii, and he was getting tired. I had him on the ground. I was punching him, and I feel this sharp pain on my chin, and like I realized, like he was trying to bite me. I'm like, ref, this guy's trying to bite me. Like, the ref didn't care, and I think he tried to bite me one more time. I was like, all right, let's stand up. I'm about to punch you in the face again. I'm not going to let you bite me anymore.
Let's end this quickly. That's funny. What can the fans expect to see Saturday night when they tune into UFC Fight Night 224 and you get back in that octagon and the door shuts?
Fire. We got old lion versus young lion, and I don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon. So you're going to see a lot of action and a lot of fire.
Very good stuff. Tyson, sir, thank you very much for your time. Have fun on Saturday. I know what this work is all for, is for the enjoyment and reward on Saturday. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong. Enjoy that as well. And again, have fun on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Tyson Nam getting back in the octagon on Saturday. Like I said, UFC Fight Night 224. Let's hit a quick break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chef Robert Irvine, highest rated show on the Food Network. Woo! And you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm Adam Richman, culinary traveler and gastronaut, and you are feasting your ears on Knockout Radio. Who wants a knuckle sandwich?
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza here in the Tampa Bay area, located in St. Pete. What's the address?
170 47th Ave Northeast.
St. Petersburg.
And St. Petersburg.
And what's the address you're at?
unknown. I really don't know where. Actually, you know where I am? I'm in a house right now that was bought by my brother-in-law for his employees to have a midday break. So it's a bunch of cots and mattresses and Wi-Fi and
a sweatshop.
Place for them to just dwell.
So it sounds
and
like
to relax in between.
So it sounds like a sweatshop.
So a little bit, yeah. We make Nikes, Apple phones. No, my brother-in-law, you know, believes that taking care of his employees. He's got 250 employees that work at his restaurant, and he gave them their own sanctuary of a place to just unwind in between lunch and dinner, where they don't have to go home, but they can relax and hang out. And so I'm in their space right now. They open up the doors and let me come in.
Oh, very, very cool. So we're bouncing all over the place. We've had the drummer of Lynyrd Skynyrd. We had some UFC fighters. We had the slap contestant from last Friday. And we're going to do something again unique, which is what we do here on Talking Sports and Knockout Radio. Let's welcome Jim Cummings. Jim, how are you?
Hey, it's another day in paradise. Finally made it.
We appreciate it. We appreciate the effort. I know you're coming to the Tampa Bay area at the end of the month for the Tampa Bay Comic Convention, which we will be at. But before we talk about that, this is mainly a sports and entertainment. Are you a sports guy? Are there certain sports or teams that you like?
Oh, sure. Sure. Well, you know, I spent so much time down in New Orleans that I'm kind of a Saints guy. And then I follow boxing in general.
I was at the Super Bowl that the Saints won, and I remember being down under, and I think I was headed in either. Knowing me, I was probably headed to my car to leave because I like to beat traffic. And I remember watching Robin Roberts just tear up and crying unbelievable because her Saints won the Super Bowl.
Oh, ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth? But we're all set to do it again the next year, and I'm not real sure what happened, but somebody sabotaged something.
And that's normally what happens, but you know the division obviously very tough. I don't know so much about the Bucs anymore, where we're based with Brady leaving. Yeah. But you know that team's still decent. You know Carolina has made some steps, Atlanta has made some steps, but I believe the Saints are the early pick to win the division.
Okay, I'll take it.
You'll take it.
I'll be there. Yeah, man.
What about your boxing love? I understand there's a pretty big event coming up in Vegas.
Well, yeah, you know, I wish I was going to be there, but, you know, I'm going way back. I mean, I was a big fan of Ray Mancini, Boom Boom. He's Boom a buddy Boom. Of mine, in fact. He's from Youngstown, Ohio, too, so am I. And, you know, it's a great place to be from, but you got to leave in order to say that, right? But, you know, I think there was such a golden era there when I was coming up, like in the 80s and 90s with Marvin Hagler and Sugar Ray. You know, I just glommed onto it, and now it's now, of course, you know, you see guys like Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, and it just keeps on going.
Yeah, don't forget Jake Paul.
Oh yeah, there you go. Beautiful thing.
Yeah, for sure. So, how did you become a voice actor?
Well, you know, I was a very annoying child. How about that? You know, and you know. I can remember sitting on my dad's lap. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and the Jack Benny program was on, and Mel Blanc was one of his guests. And my dad said to me, he goes, "You see this guy over here?" And he had on a sombrero and a serape and pretending to be from Mexico City. And he goes, "Well, this is the guy that does that Tasmanian Devil and Bugs Bunny and Sylvester the Cat that you watch on every Saturday morning." And the first thing I thought of was, well, I bet he never had to stand in the corner for making weird voices and sounds and everything. So I thought, right then and there, I said, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to do that. And so I did. It's actually that simple.
So when you started the career and now a few years later and you've done as much as you have, are any of those voices that you did back as a child, is that a voice of any character?
Actually, probably no, unless you count my Aunt Grace, God rest her soul. She was a unique character. And if anybody out there remembers Chippendale Rescue Rangers, there was a character, a human character, named Lieutenant Spinelli. And he kind of talked like this, you know, like a sort of a punch-drunk boxer. And God rest her soul, that was my impression of my Aunt Grace. You know,
awesome.
And, my Uncle Sam made it into he was a couple dragons. And he was the guy who sort of talked like this, Sam Tobacco. How you doing there, kid? And to me, he just sounded scary as hell, so I made him a dragon or a bear or two in a couple cartoons.
So how do you put that together? Is it they tell you this is the character? Do you have to watch what the character does or whatever, and then you develop the voice? How does that work?
Yeah. Well, usually the best way to do it I've found is they have a model sheet, and it'll show the characters when he's mad or happy or sleeping or, you know. And my philosophy is you have to create a body of work, so to speak, for each character. So you have to, you know, what's he going to sound like when he's snoring? What's he going to sound like when somebody drops something on his toe or gets punched in the stomach? You know, you have to have a full range of emotion. And obviously, if he's going to sing or if he's going to, hopefully he's going to talk. And, you know, you just have to, you know, I always say that the best way to do it is to think of it as doing characters, not voices.
Right.
Because that encompasses the whole thing.
How many characters have you done, and how do you keep them all straight?
Well, you know, those are both good questions, and I get them a lot, but I don't know how many, but it's a few hundred, maybe like four. Some people say 700. I don't know that that's the case, but you know, how do I keep them all straight? It's actually, I don't know. I jokingly say we are schizophrenic, and we are too. So it's kind of easy. You know, I'll never mistake Winnie the Pooh for the Tasmanian devil. Oh, what the hell? You know, that's not going to happen. So it's easier in that.
So Jim, with that, have you ever done anything like, you know, for fun, the you know, at the drive-thru and ordering food, or you know, do you use the voice of their characters for just entertaining yourself?
Well, you know, I have, and then as time went on, it was kind of like, you know, then I'd spend 10 minutes at the drive-thru. Wow, you sound just like him. You know, then I'd say, well, it's because I am him. I am Tigger. I do bounce. It's incredible. And then I'm stuck there for a while. So I just kind of, but I do a lot of cameos, put it that way. I do a lot of conventions. So everybody gets a kick out of it.
And you know, you'll be here in the Tampa Bay area at the end of the month. And I want to ask, is there any character that you're not allowed to do that you can only do, you know, when you're doing that show or movie or whatever?
No, not really. I mean, each one has his own world. Like Hondo Naka from Star Wars is never going to show up in the Hundred Acre Wood, or I'm not going to have to worry about that. For that matter, Winnie the Pooh will never show up in Darkwing Duck's hometown, St. Canard. So they've all got their own little worlds that they live in, and there's plenty of room. So everybody, come on and visit us.
I always ask this, you know, whether we've had an artist on and, you know, their paintings. I'm sure every character, every voice for the character, you know, means something and is special. But it's like our children. We have a favorite child. Come on. I know Matt down in Brazil does. Yeah. Everybody does. So is there a voice or two that is your favorite?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if it's because I have X amount of them, but I don't really have one, but I have several. And Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, you know, they're in their own category. And Pooh is sweet as honey. And Tigger is excruciatingly, extremely bouncy. And so, you know, they've got their own, they're in the classic character zone. And Taz, of course, he's the anti-Pooh. Wow. And I got to say, I'm very, very fond of Darkwing Duck because he's an original character. And the same is true from Ray from Princess and the Frog. He's a big fan favorite. You know, the women, they love a man with a big back pouch. And then you go right from there to my buddy Hondo Onaka from Star Wars Clone Wars. And in fact, he's got his own, speaking of Florida, down at Disney World and Disneyland, he's got probably the most popular ride there, Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. And I basically steal Han Solo's ship about $500 times a day and go and steal a bunch of stuff, bring it on home, and try to get it parked again before he notices. And I con Chewbacca into helping me. So stop on down. And for that matter, stop on down to the Comic-Con as well. Say hello, sure. And we'll have some grins.
I know Matt has a question, but before we go back down to Brazil and he asks you, maybe while you're here in Tampa Bay, we can gas up the limo, take you to Walt Disney World, which will help us be able to skip that 4.5 hour, 5 hour line, and we can go and enjoy that ride.
You never know. It's just crazy enough to work. I'll bring my Disney dust and I'll sprinkle it all over the place. I'll ask Tinkerbell. She's good for that.
So Jim, in Hollywood, I mean, it's notorious that, you know, certain roles get passed up and other actors get the job or they get passed on a movie. Are there any characters out there that you've not got an opportunity to do or you missed an opportunity like that you wish you could have had? Any voices you haven't done?
You know, the answer is yes and no, because, you know, I'm certainly not jealous of anybody or envious of anybody. My plate's more than full, but I will say one thing that I had laryngitis twice in my life, and once was the week that they were auditioning for The Simpsons, and so I never got to go in and do a read. I mean, I don't have any idea. I mean, they were already established anyway, but I could have been a mailman or a bellboy or, you know, something. I don't know, but, you know, something. But no, I didn't get to audition for that. It's not that I didn't get the role. I didn't even get the audition. So
didn't even get to audition it. How difficult is it? I would assume it's like green screen. It's not obviously having an actor there with you as you're conversing back and forth, right?
Well, I prefer when we have the full cast. But nowadays, 99 times out of 100, we're just a single person, you know, just recording your lines and your lines only. And it's funky because you can feed off the person's reaction behind you and in front of you. You know, you can add to their read or they can add to yours. They can react. You know, acting is reacting as much as anything else. And if there's no one in the room with you, that goes away. So you do your best. You do two or three takes. And, you know, they'll fit it into the story as best they can. And it comes out beautifully. You know, Mickey Mouse Funhouse. There's never anybody there but me.
Sure. At the end of the month here in Tampa, the Tampa Bay Comic Convention, as people come up to you when you're at your table or when you're walking around, do they ask you, you know, for certain characters, or do you just use different characters? How does that work?
Oh boy. Well, I'll tell you what. Many, many times, and if you stop by the con, you will definitely see there will be many Darkwing Ducks. God bless them. A few Hondo Onakas, cosplayers, and plenty of Winnie the Poohs. A few Tiggers, too. But for some reason, ladies, girls, and they're just beautiful. They love to dress up like Winnie the Pooh. And, you know, they've got the ears, they got the red shirt, and then they're in their yellow pajamas, and they'll go, "Who do you think I'm dressed up as?" And I said, "Oh, let me guess, Smokey the Bear." And then, you know, because I was him, too. But anyway, it's a lot of fun.
Well, hopefully we will see you. We will be out there on, I think it's Sunday we're going out there. Thank you very much for your time, Jim. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for coming on and talking to us. We're going to put you on hold real quick, and we're going to hit a break. I appreciate it. That is Jim Cummings.
Fantastic.
The voice of many characters, and you can meet him at the end of the month at the Tampa Bay Comic Convention. We're going to take a quick break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy.
We
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is LaDainian Thomas, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm Ben Roethlisberger, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Hi, we are back coming to you live from Tournament to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. How cool was that, Matt?
That's amazing. Like, that was so cool. And it was cool to see, you know, about the Simpsons, about, you know, you never even got a chance to audition for it. But, legendary, you know, characters indeed.
Maybe we'll try to call them back either after the next break or after the top of the hour when we're off, because maybe we should get a liner like from Tigger or from Winnie the Pooh.
You gotta have a Winnie the Pooh liner for the show. It'd be epic.
That would be epic. So let's see if back at the station, if they can pull a rope-a-dope, Sylvester Stallone, Rocky Balboa, whatever, and surprise us with that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I should be a voice actor. I haven't really thought about that career before.
What kind of voice can you come up with?
I have a voice. I mean, it's mumbled and it's garbled and it's not very clear. But it's a voice.
I think the next cartoon that has a fish-bearing human with no lungs, that would be perfect for you.
Well, they already have Aquaman. So I guess I could take Momoa's job and get rid of that guy.
There you go.
Put me in.
All right. I'm going to put you on the bench as we head back to Las Vegas as we continue to get ready for another weekend, which means another weekend of fights in UFC. Let's welcome to the program Ashley Evan-Smith. Ashley, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for the time. Let's get right into it. I know numerous fight weeks. Are they all the same, or do you try to mix them up a little?
Well, because of my situation, I have been out for over 2.5 years due to injury leave. This one is very different than any in the past. I'm older, the oldest I've ever been, obviously. And the thing I was actually just talking to the UFC broadcast team about is that I'm actually happier and in just a better mood, even though I'm hungry and, you know, eager to fight. I'm just very appreciative. And so that's the difference in this camp, really.
Is that similar to, and are you by chance watching any of this season's Ultimate Fighter?
You know, I have never watched those shows just because I'm not big into like reality TV shows, but I do hear that the fights have been awesome. Why do you ask?
Well, because it's very similar to what you just said this season and every year, and I've been involved in the UFC since UFC 1, Tough 1, et cetera, et cetera. This Right. season is former UFC fighters fighting up-and-comers. And every single one of those fighters are basically saying that kind of stuff, you know, of what it is to try to come back. We've been, one fighter's been out of the UFC for a couple years, released, not necessarily injured, and trying to do the right things this time to get there. And with you being out as long as you've been, is it similar to that? You know, it's like, not that you lost it, but you haven't done it in a couple years.
Well, it really did feel like I did lose it, because if you're unable to train and compete, it's not there. It doesn't matter if it's technically in contract or not. To me, I lost it, and it was such a heartbreaking feeling and having to fight back through medical and mental and emotional blocks. It's just like those fighters on the show. Shout out to Cody Gibson, who's one of those fighters. We both went to Menlo College. I believe he's on the show right now, you know, fighting his way back, but good luck to him.
And again, since you're not watching, and we have the winner on every week, Cody got injured, and he'll be fighting against, and Dr. Davidson, who happens to be a very good friend of mine, they're showing on TV, and they're talking, and it's a decision that you're going to have to make. It's a knee injury, and as he walks out, Michael Chandler's saying, you know, I can't tell you what to do, and he's like, I already know what to do. I'm fighting. There's no question. No knee. I'm fighting.
Oh, man, I got to give a shout-out to Dr. Davidson, too. He's been on this, you know, spine surgery healing journey with me these last 3 years, really, because they stepped by my side, the UFC did. They paid for my surgery. They helped me out with some of my stem cells, and they never gave up on me. So shout-out to Dr. D and the whole UFC crew.
Dr. D is absolutely a good dude. His two sons, I consider my nephews. I won't tell you the whole long Uncle Randy story and stuff, but it is maybe next time, or, you know, when we meet up, I will tell you that. How do you relax fight week? How do you chill? How do you not think about, even though you've had years to think about it?
You cut out think about Randy. Back. But I think you just asked me how I relax fight week, right?
Right. How will you relax and not think about, you know, the enjoyment that you're going to have on Saturday?
I like how you said enjoyment. Way to put a positive spin on that. A lot of people would say, you know, the anxiety or the anxiousness or the nerves or whatever it is, but you're right. Like, that's the mindset you have to have. I used to have that in my younger years, like, oh, what if this happens? Or, well, you know, and you start catastrophizing the worst. But honestly, shout out to Micah from the UFC Performance Institute, a sports psychologist there who I've been working with. It's not just the same for athletes preparing for competition, it's the same for everyone. In order to not be stressed out about the future and relax, you just need to stay present. So this week, especially, all I'm focusing on is what I can control, staying very present in the moment and taking minute by minute, not even hour by hour. Like, okay, what do I have to do right now? I'm on this interview with Randy. Cool. After this, I'm going to go shadow box for the UFC. You know, then I'm going to cut some weight. And when you do it like that, you don't have time or, you know, energy to think about the future, because you can't control that outcome. So I know that sounds all hibbity-dibbity, but it's been working for me. It's been really working for me.
It definitely makes sense. And when I said, you know, about Saturday, Eve Edwards always told me that the work is getting to fight week, you know, the fight camp, everything that you're doing, that reward, I like to even call it the first day of summer school. You know, Friday is the last day of school, Saturday summer school. because that's what all of you fighters, you know, you're working for that fun, that entertainment. And only a few fighters told me it's not fun, but it's their job. But that's what Saturday is. Saturday's the reward for everything that you've done to get here.
Oh, yeah. And for me, the build-up to the reward, it's not like I fought a few fights ago. It's been years and tears and, you know, sacrifice and financially and, you know, second-guessing because I've been injured or, you know, on the bench or getting older. I just turned 36. You know, in life, I'm a young buck, but in fighting, I'm an old lady now. And you just start wondering if this is the right path. But if I can tell you anything that I feel right now, it's more so that I'm on the right path for the first time in my life. And I don't see myself being done fighting for many years.
Well, first, I'm going to say I have a belt older than you. And second, tell me your thoughts on your opponent.
I think she's a young, hungry, savage girl, and I think that she's going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at me, and I'm ready for that. I really, really am. I think she has a similar game plan and or a fighting style, but she's not as experienced or skilled at that fighting style the way I am. I think it's going to be an exciting fight because we both love to come forward. For me, I'll have to work on my patience, to be honest. I think a good game plan is taking this girl into the second and third round, which she's never been in the UFC or any of her fights. So it's a good matchup. It's going to be an exciting one. We start off the show, you know, we're first at 4 p.m. on Saturday. So anybody listening, don't miss it. Tune in early.
So, Ashley, you know, obviously we're Knockout Radio. Randy has been covering the UFC since UFC 1, traveling with the promotion since UFC 11. So he's an old dog, you know, an OG, as Dana White calls him. But, you know, I see your podcast, Sex and Violence, you know, with the Rebel Girl and about, you know, the combination of the beauty and the brawn. We have a beautiful, tall, blonde producer, and I was thinking about combining the same kind of thing. So any tips you could give on how to really build the online presence with our platform using sex and MMA?
Yeah, I mean, just steal a chapter from my book. There's enough, you know, space out there for everybody, but why not have your beautiful blonde producer get on there and start asking more personal type questions? Like, I think that not everybody knows I have a podcast called Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl, available on all platforms. So thank you for the shout out. Exclusive content available. So, you know, but once they do, everybody just goes, wow, like I never thought to even ask a fighter that question. So just digging deeper into the personal lives of fighters, it doesn't even have to be about sex, you know, keep it kind of PG-13, relationships and love, like, fighters' brains are so interesting. They're very unique. We are the most extreme people. So to hear the opinions, outlooks, thoughts, and backgrounds of some of these fighters in a different topic like love is so interesting.
I definitely agree. I've been in love for 43 years. I think that's how long I've been married.
That's why you still call her your bride.
Say what,
wow,
Ashley?
Congratulations on that. That's an accomplishment.
You know, not to, it's just all about you, not about, you know, me or the show, but I met my wife on a Saturday, and roughly 2 weeks later, we talked about getting married, got married 2 years later, and we've been married, you know, early 40 some years now. So sometimes it's pretty cool.
Well, I need to pick your brain on the ways of making it work someday.
you know, it's funny. The Wednesday or Thursday night Hall of Fame thing in Vegas, Misha Tate and I were talking, and she was asking me questions like that. Like, you know, what is it? What do we do? What, you know, which was kind of, you know, but let's get off me. Matt, what do you got?
Well, so the question over the week, Randy, you know, put it on Facebook. He called his wife his bride. They've been married 43 years. And I was like, shouldn't there be term limits on the word bride? Like, that's like a honeymoon phase. Like, you know, after what point, Ashley, do you think he should refer to her as his wife or his better half?
I think he should call her whatever makes her feel the best. And if bride is something that resonates with her heart and reminds her of why they fell in love, and that's their pet name. But I say stick with that.
There you go, Matt.
Wow, I love that. I love that answer.
So I'll continue calling her Bride. Where does the nickname Rebel Girl come from?
It comes from a punk rock song, a female band called Bikini Kill, an older band. I love punk rock. I grew up back in that community when I was a young girl. Got into a lot of trouble, but it also really gave me a family. And then I got a tattoo, and people kind of just started calling me the tattoo. And then if you look a little bit into who I am, you go, oh, she definitely embodies a rebel girl. So it stuck. And, you know, I'm thinking of, as I get older, get these gray hairs, I'm like, I should probably let my hair grow out. But then I'm like, I've had to let go of this tattoo. And it feels like it would be letting go of, like, the persona and the brand that I've created. And now, so more than ever, the brand is really working for me.
Well, I never say anything that I don't believe, and I never say anything that I won't do. So let me tell you this. I don't listen to other shows. I don't really do a whole lot of research because I don't want anybody to say I took from. I want it to be just a conversation. So I always call this a chat and not even an interview. I believe that I've only listened to two podcasts, one for about 10 minutes and one for about a minute and a half. And sometime this week, I am going to listen to your podcast.
Well, that's a big compliment. Thank you. I'm the same exact way. I'm a podcaster, but as you guys know, with, you know, all these different productions you do, ain't nobody got time to just be like, oh, listen to this 2-hour Joe Rogan podcast. It's like, we got to make our own content, our own material. So thank you. Give it a listen. You have some amazing fighters to choose from. Young fighters like, you know, Terrence McKinney, who's fighting on the same card with me, all the way to OGs like Tito Ortiz, Chris Lieben, the list goes on. I've been so fortunate. We're at, you know, under 200 episodes, and the people that have come on my show are amazing people, amazing. And then you get to hear a little bit of their personal lives, which, I don't know, we all have a little bit of voyeurism, right? Or what's voyeurism but through audio?
Still, it's still the same. And I'm going to change it. I'm going to have to listen to at least two because Tito has been on my program more than any other athlete. Tito and I are very good friends. Just moved down here to Florida, so I'll be seeing him shortly when he opens his restaurant in down South Florida. So
yeah.
I will listen. But you called him an OG, and I just want to tell you that when Dana called me the OG, I asked my wife, and she said it stands for old guy.
Well, let's face it, he is that too. And, you know, you just got to accept it when you get older. Like, I know this young girl's 28, and, you know, and I'm kind of like the old OW. I'm like the old woman in this fight, you know, but there's perks to being the OG or the OW.
There you go. Final question for you. Can you watch a fight as a fan, or are you always watching a fight and as maybe starts as a fan, but turns into, you know, I like what they're doing. I could try to do that. That would sound good on my podcast. I want to get that athlete on. So are you always working, or can you just enjoy it as a fan?
No, I don't think I ever enjoyed it as a fan. A weird fun fact is that I never even watched the UFC until I was in the UFC. I fell into fighting. I just loved doing the actual act. Didn't watch it. Didn't become a fanatic or anything like that. I have a partner who's been on the forum since he was 13, you know, like fanatic. But for me, it was more like, okay, I guess I'll start watching. And then when I started watching, I just had so much empathy for the fighters, and I still do. Sometimes I'm a little bit too emotional and I'm thinking more about like, oh, that poor fighter, you know, they went for that kick, you know, the person checked it, you know, as opposed to a technical aspect. You know, I have a big head and a bigger heart.
You know, and that makes sense because I've talked about that. You know, we all get excited. Robbie Lawler, Nico Price, two good friends of mine, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love how Robbie went out. It's going to be a movie. It all makes sense. But it kills me with Nico. And I remember one of my favorite fights, Matt Hughes, Frank Trigg. They both are still very good friends of mine. And I said, I'm going to be more upset for who loses than happy for who won. Because normally, you know, everybody jumps on, hey, they won. That's the winner. But, you know, the loser went through, and loser's not the right word. The person who didn't win, like, you know, went through the same
training. Of course.
You know, and I feel for both fighters.
Yep. I mean, I'm that person that, if I'm close to someone and they lose the fight, I'm fucking reaching out because all I can think of is exactly what they're going through. And it takes 2 seconds to give someone like a, hey, keep your head up. Like, but it makes the fucking, oh, freaking world. It makes the world of difference
FCC, she said trucking.
I said trucking. I keep trucking along. You know, you just got to keep trucking.
There you go. I know Matt has something he wants to say to you, but that's something that I always do. I reached out to Nico, I think it was yesterday. I always wait a day or so. And I reach out, you know, when or non-when, you know, because it's just like you said, it's just important. Keep your head up. And he's like, hey, those things happen. But I'm glad to hear from you, from an athlete, that text or that phone call is important.
It's important to everybody, but all I know is athletics. And I know wins and I know losses and I know how much it means when it doesn't even have to be your best friend, you know, someone, a fan, a supporter. That's why social media is so bittersweet. All these trolls, but then you have these people that take time out of their day to really support you. They could support anyone. And I love social media, even if it comes with the turds.
So Ashley, so as we're talking, I'm actually wearing my Nico Price welterweight UFC shirt right now in Brazil. Even after he lost on Saturday, I wanted to show support today on social media for Nico, a friend. And I am in a unique situation. I currently train two fighters that are fighting on the BKFC card this Friday, and they're fighting each other. Both camps, trust me, both camps gave me authorization to train both fighters equally. And I don't want either one to lose. I don't want either one to win. I'm hoping for maybe a double knockout. I don't know. I'm so emotionally invested, but I'm trying to stay neutral to it.
I feel like maybe instead of a double knockout, we go in there and, well, then you take less damage right here. I don't even, that's a hard one, you know, because if you're like, no contest, then no one wins.
Well, we definitely don't want what just happened in the PFL. You know, where the two friends and the godfathers to each other's children, and you know that turned out to be
really that bad. Was it really that bad? Because I heard that they just like, you know, touched hard, but was it like, you know, even your average like casual MMA fan could tell that it was like not a real fight?
Yeah, from what I understand, and I didn't see it, but from what I understand, it was basically a sparring session. I still have some issues with what the organization did, and Ray Sefo and all those guys are friends of mine. But, you know, I have a problem with them suspending both. One guy won, one guy lost. The winner should move on. I mean, you didn't like what happened. Take care of it another way, not disqualify them. But that's my opinion. So
yeah,
it is what
Absolutely. That was an unfortunate situation.
No, for sure. Definitely strange, and there's even more strangeness. And I'd like to be honest, if we're going to continue for another minute or so, that Junior Dos Santos tweeted out to Francis Ngannou, you know, I thought you were the fighter representative, and, you know, stick up for the fighters. And so it was ugly, and it's probably going to continue to be ugly. But thank you very much for your time, Ashley. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong. As well as a box from Bucked Up Energy Drink. I will even tweet to you or Instagram you, whatever all you young kids do, after I listen to your podcast. Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I don't know if we lost Ashley.
Yeah. Hello?
Oh, yep, there we go. I said we're going to send you some care packages from 8 Man Strong and Bucked Up Energy Drink, and then I'll hit you up on Instagram or something after I listen to the Tito and one that we'll randomly select.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. Tune in Saturday, 4 p.m. It's going to be awesome.
Have fun on Saturday. We'll talk to you again soon. That is Ashley Evans-Smith back in the Octagon after a couple year out of action, and it should be a good, fun time. All right, we got about a minute or so left. What up down there in Brazil, Matt?
Great show. Happy to be back in my home country.
Now it's your home country. I thought you were an American when you thought you were going to die.
Well, that's true. If things get scary, I'm always American, but otherwise I'm Brazilian. Well,
Hold on. I wouldn't claim to be an American in Russia.
That's true. Yeah, that wouldn't be a good over right now, but I'm happy to be home with my family. Looking forward to a week of fight camp and different gyms down here. And we'll tune in next Wednesday and we'll catch up on another week in Brazil. And enjoy the fights this weekend. BKFC Lakeland, I think it's 47. And shout out to Travis the Animal Thompson and Ryan Royal Reaver, my two brothers going at it.
like only brothers should do. If only you knew. Enjoy your time down there. We'll try to extend the extension cord. Hopefully you can get down by next Wednesday. And we'll be in touch. I'll hit you up, and then we'll talk on air next Wednesday.
Tell our beautiful blonde producer to get a bikini ready. We're going to boost these Instagram photos.
With that said, this is and has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. See everybody next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.